Oh.
Hey, all
Hey
right.
there.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing is occasionally my storage my audios take up too much space apparently because I'm long-winded. And so and it warns me that I'm running out of space. So anyway, I'll go home and delete some old calls and it'll give me more room for the new calls. But anyway, how are you?
Hey, I'm well. I'm trying some new headphones. Do you think it's clear and loud enough?
Yeah, sounds great.
Okay, great.
What'd you buy?
Yeah,
What what'd you
beautiful.
end up buying? What'd you buy? What kind of headphones?
Well, I got just AirPods, to be honest. I had an old pair
Okay.
for, I pushed it as long as I could. It went down to one. The right one was only working, and then now I finally just went and got a new set because, yeah, it was time. But
Yeah,
I know these have a
if
lady.
you they have a what?
I know that these ones, AirPods aren't always the best for speaking, from what I have experienced in the past. I feel like they're like, people are always like, what was that now?
I'll say
So.
that. I'll say, what was that now? Only for clarification purposes today.
I love it. I think, yeah, go ahead.
I have over the head Sennheisers, and they have the actual microphone across the face. And how does it sound?
You sound, yeah, I like the way you sound. Yeah, I like that. I was thinking about getting a pair of those, but yeah, I guess I'll have to, look into it.
What kind of a phone do you use?
I use an iPhone, and it's like iPhone 14,
Yeah,
and
you just need a. It just uses a. You get a. What do they call it? A reducer or whatever, so it plugs into the bottom of your iPhone. But I like it because I can kind of adjust the microphone. I know that I'm not just talking out into space. You know, the microphone is right here in front of my face. So I know it's picking up
yeah.
something, including my heavy breathing sometimes. Anyway,
Well,
welcome back. I
I'm back around on like it's like round five I'm doing on New World Order, and I'm on episode 57, and
Wow.
yeah, I just well, each time I go around, I might pick something. I mean, you can't get it all at one in one shot around, and you start hearing. It's crazy how many things I heard that I didn't hear before. I mean, it's well, obviously you're taking all the information in, but you were in the past couple episodes on from 57 in and around there. You were mentioning the idea of a fish doesn't know it's inside of water. And I really like that because, I mean, it's like I feel like I'm identifying the water, and I love that, you know, because it's everywhere. And so with that statement means a lot. And so I have a couple of topics in mind here, and I've been really, really intrigued with the calendar thing lately. So I was going to open with, well, actually, before I get to that first one, I found from our last call I mentioned that there was a 2B definition that was amazing, and I discovered which one it was, and it was author 2B God. Author 2B definition is God, so I put that on the list of 2Bs.
Right. Okay. So, by the way, let me introduce you again. This is my friend Chad, from Hanging Chad, the earlier broadcast. And of course, Hanging Chad is no different than Hanging Kurt or Hanging Bill or Hanging Sarah or Hanging Debbie on a cross, frozen in time, on a calendar, on a Gregorian Roman Catholic calendar. That's you're hanging on a cross, frozen or fixed in time, frozen in time. A birthday freezes you in time, so you're never fully present. Hell, you're never present at all, as a matter of fact. You're stuck in Christianity. You're stuck in a Christian calendar. You know, year one to year 2024, which is not real at all. So, yeah, let's whatever you like. You said I like to just follow your lead or. It's so much easier for me to
Perfect.
do that, and then and then we'll see where this thing goes.
I love that. Okay, so zero, the first topic at zero, of course. So I have it written as the transitions between B.C. and A.D., the Julian to the Gregorian, and the Old Testament to the New Testament. I'm sure those are all tied in. And I put, if you could include your thoughts on if these operations were done by the same people or if it was more of a takeover, so to speak. But, yeah, so those transitions, B.C., A.D., Julian to Gregorian, and Old to New Testament.
Well, I number one, years ago when I saw the difference between the Orthodox calendar known as the Julian calendar and the Catholic, the Roman Catholic calendar, which is the Gregorian calendar. Well, right now, the difference between those two calendars is what, 13 days, 13 or 14 days, a fortnight, almost 14 days. So you got the Orthodoxy, which is the God-based calendar. Orthodox is God, and that's the Julian calendar. But that was changed in 1582 to the Roman Western calendar. When I say West, I'm talking about Rome, because Rome is west of Constantinople, which was Eastern Christianity. And so Eastern Orthodox Christianity still uses to this day the Julian calendar, whereas the Western Roman Catholic Christianity uses the Gregorian calendar. They're about 13 days apart or 14 days apart, which is about, 2 weeks. Interestingly, Orthodox, again, is specific to God. I can live with the concept of God all day long. All day long, God. I define God as nature or creation or whatever. Not creationism, but creation. I mean, the fact that I exist, I exist. I don't need somebody to try to explain some magical man in the sky or their ideas of why I'm here, because they're all bogus. They're all made up. All of man's ideas are bullshit. Reality's reality. We don't get to make shit up. Nature doesn't care what you believe. Nature doesn't care about your ideas. Isness is, in spite of all our stupidity. What I'm getting at is there is a schism, a space between all the different factions, all the different denominations of Christianity. And you know what? They're all made up, all of them. The same thing with every other religion, all made up. Doesn't matter what you want to believe. It's just man's idea of the unexplained, something unexplained. So, again, I can live with the Orthodox idea of God, but I cannot live with the Son of God, Jesus, and the sacrificial Jesus and Mary aspect of the Roman Catholic Western Christianity. And, again, God is from the beginning. In my world, it just makes sense. God is fertilization. God is the moment of creation. God is the moment I began my existence. Roman Catholicism, or the Jesus aspect, is part of my own biology, which is part of the evolutionary process. My own membrane, my own amnion, a membrane surrounding me, known as the lamb. Amnion means lamb in Greek. So that membrane surrounding me, think of it as like a boat. It's my boat in the womb. And, of course, boats walk on water, don't they?
Yes.
Well, my amnion, I was inside the boat. I was inside the membrane. The membrane being the Lamb of God, of me inside. So the membrane surrounding me, the amnion, the Lamb, when I come out of mom, when I came out of her, they sacrificed all of the extra embryonic material that became the deposit in their In God We Trust. It became the very thing that was placed on deposit, the Lamb, the sacrificial Lamb, the sac, S-A-C, that's what is held on deposit, which then becomes forces me to become the surety or the underwriter to their banking system. I know this seems like it's not connected, but it is. You asked me about the Orthodox versus the, which is the Julian versus the Gregorian, which is the Roman Catholic. That's the difference right there. God is the beginning. It's the beginning. Whereas Jesus, it becomes a middleman that they can control. There's no middleman from the beginning, but there is a middleman with Roman Catholicism and the Jesus, the idea of Jesus being your link to God, link to the Orthodox. No, thank you. There was like three different questions in here. So that was the Julian versus the Gregorian. But then you had the idea of AD, BC, and all that stuff. Well, let me try to distinguish that. The Gregorian calendar, which is the Jesus calendar, is the Christian calendar. I'm not going to go with the Orthodox. I'm going to talk about the Gregorian calendar begins at the year one. It doesn't begin at zero. Think about that. So I'm in the womb. No, I'm not. I don't even exist. Now the moment of fertilization, now I exist. One moment I didn't, the next moment I did. So I'm starting at zero. I don't even exist. That's zero. But the next moment I do exist, but I exist as a single cell zygote. Now think about that. I'm in the process. I'm evolving from a single cell all the way up to the year one. All the time in the womb, zero to one, is unaccounted for on the Christian calendar, on the Gregorian calendar, because the Gregorian calendar begins at the year one. What about all the time from zero to one? So all the first year is missing. It's missing from the Gregorian calendar. Where did it go? Where did zero to one go? Zero to one is on what's known as the Anumundi calendar. The Anumundi calendar is known as the calendar of the world. In fact, let me see if I can. Anumundi in Latin means in the year of the world. So your world, that single cell celestial body, the celestial body known as the zygote. Remember, this single cell is floating in space, in the waters of mother. It's floating. It's unattached to any piece of mom. It's in her water, but floating in space. The single cell is a celestial body. The zygote's a celestial body. It's your planet. It's your planet. Like Superman has Krypton, zygote is my planet. I come from planet Zygote. Yeah, does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so here's the thing. The Anumundi calendar, the calendar known as in the year of the world calendar, the world begins at zero. My zygote begins at the moment of creation. That's zero. Zero, zero to the next moment. You see what I'm getting at? I didn't exist, and then I do. So zero to the moment of existence. That's my world. That's my world.
So Anumundi is the same as the Julian? I mean, is air.
Don't even go there. Julian is Christian.
Okay.
Julian is, don't confuse the entire Christian calendar with anything else that was created. Christianity is one creation.
Okay.
No, they're not.
Okay.
The Anumundi calendar is Jewish.
Hmm.
You're mixing all these things up because the Orthodox Julian is Christian and the Gregorian Roman Catholic is Christian, but the Anumundi is Jewish. So the Jewish calendar begins at zero and the Christian calendar begins at one. The Christian doesn't exist in the beginning. His whole entire first year is missing. Where did the Christian go? The Christian calendar begins at one. I don't give a shit if you call it Gregorian or Orthodox. I don't care. They're only 14 days apart. I'm talking about an entire different idea. Christianity mm-hmm. begins at year one. So what happens? Where did the Christian come from? He came from the world. He came from the original creation, which is all the time in the womb. The Christian, the Gregorian calendar that begins at the year one, I call it the New Testament calendar. That's the Jesus calendar. All the stuff in the womb is Old Testament. Everything out of the womb is New Testament. And it doesn't matter whether you're talking about Julian or Gregorian outside the womb, because that's Christianity. I'm not talking about Christianity now. I'm talking about the Jewish calendar that begins at zero. People won't, Chad, this is really hard for people to see. You got a pen and pencil? Or pencil?
Yes, I do.
You got a piece of paper. Okay, put a dot somewhere. Just turn the paper sideways so you got a little bit of room because you're going to make a timeline. I just put a dot on the left side of the paper.
Okay, here, stand by.
Once you get this visual, you'll never, ever.
Okay, dot on the left-hand side of the paper, done.
Okay, that dot represents the moment of creation. So, moment of creation, MOC. Well, what was there before the dot?
Nothing.
Space, yeah, nothing. But once you put that pen to paper and you create the dot, that's the zygote. That's creation. That's the moment of creation.
Okay.
So it started at zero. There was nothing there. But then you put pen to paper and you created the zygote. Now something's there. It began at zero, but the moment you made that point, you created that point in space, now existence begins. But there's no space between non-existence and existence. There's no space. So you began at zero. The moment creation occurs and substance exists is your kingdom. That's the beginning of your kingdom. It's all in one cell. Your 46 chromosome, godly kingdom, godly estate, that's all right there in that dot. That's the beginning of your kingdom.
Okay.
Now, I want you to think about this. An entire year has to pass before you get to the Christian calendar. What's going on in the womb? Why is it unaccounted for? Because it's not on the Christian calendar. Christianity begins at year one. If you look up Anno Domini calendar or Gregorian calendar, they're one and the same. If you look up Anno Domini or whatever, it says the Christian calendar begins at year one. So everything from zero to one is left out. It's forgotten. So all the time in the womb is forgotten. It's abandoned. But that's where creation is. And so, but that's also where the Anno Mundi calendar begins. The Anno Mundi calendar begins at zero. So put a zero there.
Okay.
At the dot.
All right.
Now, put another dot, maybe an inch to the right of that.
Got it.
And call that birthday. 1 year. Or Gregorian calendar. But that, and put the number one there, because that's the year that Christianity begins, at year one. Now look at that. All the space between those two dots is the time in the womb, unaccounted for by the Gregorian calendar. Or even the Orthodox calendar, because remember, they're only 14 days apart. So they're one and the same. In my world, the Gregorian and the Orthodox are the same, even though they're 14 days apart. Don't care about that. Now, on the record, it makes a difference. 14 days makes a difference. But I'm talking about a lifetime. So the space between those two points is all the time in the womb. The dot to the left that begins at zero, that's the Anno Mundi calendar, year of the world. Now, I don't know how far away from the left edge of the page are you with your left dot, your zero dot.
You got about an inch.
okay, go all the way to the right side of the page and an inch from that edge of the page, put another dot.
Okay. All right.
So the far left dot says 0. The far right dot, I want you to put 5784.
Okay.
Between 0 and 5784, that entire length of time is the Anu Mundi calendar, the year of the world. That's the Jewish calendar. Okay? Now think about that. That's almost 6,000 years. 0 to 5784 is almost 6,000 years. Now what I want you to do is the Christian dot, the one that's about an inch to the right of 0, the one that says number 1, I want you to proportionally, if the far right dot equals 5784, I want you to go all the way back to where you think 2024 is. So you go from the second dot, where Christianity begins, and it's pretty close to the what I'm getting at is the Christian calendar is a subset of the Anu Mundi calendar. The whole world goes from 0 to 5784 according to the Jewish calendar. But the Christian calendar goes from the year 1 to 2024. Look at how little that space is.
That's crazy.
No, and you're
so
getting
a
visual.
Did they hijack
now.
It? Did they hijack
well,
it?
Well, no. What I want you to what I want you to see is that the entire Christian calendar that begins at 1 and ends at 2024 is in the past. If the present moment is 5784 to the Jews, look how far back that Christian calendar is back there in time.
Wow.
It's 3,760 years in the past.
Wow.
You don't think you can control an entire population of believers if they're that far back in the past? Can you look at that Christian calendar and go, holy shit, we're stuck in this little timeline that is a subset of the world. All the believers are stuck inside that Christian timeline. Frozen.
That's crazy.
Can you see it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The drawing put it all, that's crazy.
Now here's the thing. Is I'm going to go into my book, First in Time. By the way,
okay.
First in Time. Which did you put down on your paper first? The zero dot, which is the beginning of which is creation, or the second birthday dot, the Gregorian calendar, Roman Catholic birthday dot. Which one came first?
The zero dot.
Of course it did. You had to exist before the fictitious birth certificated Roman Catholic character existed. You had to exist. Now, in my book, there are multiple references to this situation. What's interesting is that you go to page 270, and it talks about lower left side where it says in rem?
Yes.
In rem, it says, is a technical term used to designate proceedings or actions instituted against the thing, in contradistinction to personal actions, which are said to be in personam. It says an action in, by the way, it says against the thing. Now when they clamp and cut the umbilical cord. Baby goes home with mom and dad, but there's a thing left behind, separate from you now, and it is part of the world. Remember, your origin, your biology began at zero, but then there's the baby, which is an evolutionary due process being, a supreme being. The fruit at the end of the stem, at the end of the umbilical cord, that's the product of that creation. So the baby is the fruit, and yet all the stuff left behind would evidence the origin, which is all the time in the womb. But again, in the Christian realm, all the time in the womb has been abandoned. So if you leave behind by not remembering any of the time in the womb, by forgetting about it, it becomes the thing of the world, the Yanomami thing. Because it began at zero, and they clamped and cut it off of you at birthday, so now it's left behind, presumably abandoned by you. What was abandoned? Your origin. Your origin was your godly origin. Your kingdom was abandoned the moment you accepted Christianity. It's the opposite of what everybody's been told. Chad, it's the worst thing ever imaginable, is that all the people that believe that this is a good thing is actually leaving behind God. They're turning their back on God the moment they claim the Gregorian calendar. You see what I'm getting at?
Absolutely.
Because it's your origin. It's the actual. But look, and then let me finish reading this then. It says, an action in rem is a proceeding that takes no cognizance of owner, but determines right in specific property against all of the world, equally binding on everyone. When they take that afterbirth material on deposit, they place it in the public pool. It becomes the global John Doe. And now everybody is guilty of everything. That means if you do something wrong, if our biology is in a pool, in a public pool, and you go rob a bank, if all of our biology is in a public pool, a worldly pool, and you rob a bank, and my biology is mixed in with yours, guess who's guilty of robbing the bank?
I don't see that. Say more about how is that? How does it relate to everyone in the pool?
Okay, let's do this. You get a glass of water. I mean a glass of water. And right. I get a glass of water. And the glass of water you have in your hand is your property. And the glass of water in my hand is my property. The man that owns your glass of water commits a crime. His water is guilty. Everything about him is guilty. The man drinking your water is, he robbed a bank. I'm over here separate from you. There's no way that I have anything to do with the bank robbery. What happens when I pour my water into your glass with your water and mix the two? Now, when they find the evidence, when they find you, hell, they don't even have to find you. All they have to do is find the water and they go, hey, we found a trace of the criminal. But guess whose biology, guess whose property's in mixed in with yours? Mine.
Yeah.
So if they pull me in as a person of interest, because part of my biology, part of my water is mixed in with part of your water, I'm now a person of interest. I have interest in your water. All they have to do is bring the water in and say, hey, we can pull anybody in that is part of this pool because they're all guilty. It doesn't matter. I mean, as long as I'm choosing to be part of your water, then if you commit a crime, I'm just as guilty as you. And that's what they've done. It is communism. Everybody's guilty. I mean, when one person commits a crime, everybody's guilty. And that's what they've done. They've made it so everybody's guilty of everything all the time. It doesn't matter how you think you are, how you live your life. If you're participating in this pool, in this global public, you're just as guilty as everyone else of everything that ever happens. Because your biology, because you've accepted, you've said, hey, we're all in this together. Okay, then you have to live with everything everybody else is doing too. I'm not interested in that. I don't want to suffer all the situations everybody else gets themselves in. I don't want to suffer that. I'm not a martyr. I don't want to play the martyr. I don't want anything to do with everybody else's bullshit. And that's what they've done. They've created a global public that where one commits the crime, everybody's guilty. They can pull anybody off the street. In fact, they do that. In the courts right now, when they get a case in front of them, it's a generic case. It's general. It's in general. And all they have to do is put a name to it because everybody's biology is in the pool. They call it the mass, M-A-S-S. It's the Christ Mass. It's Christmas.
Wow, oh, I love that. That's amazing.
It's the Christ Mass. So now everybody's guilty and everybody needs to be executed. Everybody needs to execute that story, that narrative. And that's what we're stuck with that. I don't agree to it. But what happens again, what's really weird about this stuff is the part that's on deposit is 0 to 1. 0 to 1 includes your amnion. Your amnion is known as the lamb. The lamb is what's getting sacrificed. Well, again, Jesus is known as the King of the Jews. And the King of the Jews is what's hanging on the cross. That's the amnion. That's the part from in the womb. That's 0 to 1. It's hanging on the cross. That's the sacrifice. But it's your own biology.
And the cross marks the Christianity outside of the vagina. That's the Christianity mark. So they mark it and they mark it at 1. And that's them just like jumping in, putting 1 there, starting at 1 right there with the cross. Yes, that's amazing.
That's the deposit. That's the deposit. That's where you fell. F-E-L-L. Fell is the past tense of the word fall, which is, so when they clamp and cut the cord, a piece of you falls to the ground. That's the fallen angel. That the fallen angel is that original material, the part that connects you to God. That's the fallen angel. The afterbirth is the fallen angel. Well, what about the baby that goes home with mom and dad? The baby that goes home with mom and dad is the fallen man. Because he's separated from God. So you have the fallen angel afterbirth, and then the fallen man, the savage or the heathen on the land that's not Christian. So both positions are a no-win situation for you. You're either the fallen angel, the afterbirth is in play, which is the unborn, or you have the savage on the land, which is a heathen or an indigenous person that has no rights. Either way, you lose because of the cut. Now,
a question. Oh, go ahead.
Now, all I'm trying to say is I'm trying to put this on a calendar. The Jewish calendar, the year of the world, goes from 0 to 5784. The Christian calendar is a little subset in there from 1 to 2024. Think about that. It's a subset, 3,760 years in the past. So if the Jews are saying it's the year 5784, they're looking back historically at Christianity. And if you're using the Christian calendar, can you be here in the present if you're stuck in the past?
No. But why are we on this?
What are you talking about? Why are we on what?
Why are we in this subset? How did they?
No, we're not. That's my point. That's my point, Chad.
Oh,
we're not.
Okay.
We're not.
Oh.
But if you believe in, if you celebrate a birthday, if you believe in religions, if you believe in this nonsense, they're going to listen to you in the courtroom, and they're going to say, we got a nutcase here that needs to be protected. We have a mental midget here, an infant that doesn't know reality, and we're going to have to protect him. And that's what they're doing.
Wow.
Everybody is insane according to the birthday. 100% of the population celebrating birthdays are insane because they're frozen in a calendar, in a time frame, 3,760 years in the past.
Tell me
there's no advantage. If I'm in the present, this is where it gets weird. If I'm here in the present, I don't need any calendar. It doesn't matter whether it's the Anno Domini, Anno Mundi, the Gregorian, the Julian. It doesn't matter. The present doesn't have the word. No calendar in the world has the word today on it. Because today is the present. And the present is not subject to any of this nonsense. The present is reality, and reality doesn't give a shit about all those fictions. None of those fictitious jurisdictions can hold the present. Fictio sedet veritate says fiction yields to truth, and the truth is in the present. And here's the one thing that they've done. Imagine this. If I'm celebrating a birthday, Curtis Richard Kallenbach, September 19th, 1960, Gregorian, 1960. It's still on that little zero. It's on that 1 to 2024, isn't it?
Yes.
But I'm here in the present. I don't even relate to that calendar, but I'm in the present in real time with my energy, my mindset, my property, in the present, in the present. But there's a character that they've put, that they've created on the calendar 3,760 years in the past, frozen in time, Gregorian calendar, named Curtis Richard Kallenbach. Birthday. Happy birthday, Christian. Now here's the sick part. I'm in the present in reality. I am. The I is in the present. My biology is in the present. But they're holding a piece of paper, a public record, that says they have a Christian, a record of a Christian 3,760 years ago.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, if I'm not present on their record, if I'm not there, if I'm missing presumed dead on their, because of their calendar character, then all of my property will be held in trust until I return. What I'm getting at is no trust is necessary for a living man in the present. Why are trusts formed? They're formed so people that are not able to manage their property because they're away, they entrust their property with somebody that is there managing their property. So look at, again, Debbie and I decide to go to Ireland, play some golf, drink some beer. I call up Chad, and you say, what do you need, Kurt? And I say, listen, Debbie and I are going to Europe for a spell, for a time. I don't know when we're going to get back. Would you hold the keys to my kingdom while Debbie and I are gone? And you say, Kurt, I'd love to, whatever you need. So I stop at your house on the way overseas. When I stop at your house before I go abroad, before I leave, and I hand you the keys to my kingdom, and I say, I'll let you know when I come back. While I'm away, Chad, you have the authority to act on all of my property. I have now entrusted you with all of my property. Why? Because I'm not here. Christians entrust all their property with somebody, in God we trust, or whatever. They trust all, they entrust all their property with somebody else to manage. They call it, what, the administrative process. But now no Christian has any property because they're not present. They're missing. The present moment, real time, has nothing to do with the Christian calendar character. That character is frozen in time. According to the Jews, 3,760 years in the past. But look at the moment Debbie and I come back into the country, come back into the present, I call you up and I say, hey, Chad, we're back. I need the keys to the kingdom. And you meet me somewhere for a cup of coffee or whatever, a beer, and you hand me the keys back because I'm present again. So as long as I claim Christianity, I'm lost to the past, and all my property is in a trust. But if I never go anywhere, think about this. If I never leave the present ever, do I need their trust? Do I need to entrust another with my property?
That's very interesting.
This whole thing is, the entire fiction is in order to capture everybody's productivity, all their property. That's the whole Gregorian calendar is based upon people not being here. By claiming to be a Christian, you're 3,760 years in the past. And you need a trust.
Shit. Wow, that's
let
so,
me say, look,
wow, so simple.
Let me finish page 270. Because okay. In REM is talking about the thing. The court is dealing in REM, and it's about a thing. It's not about the man. It's not about in personam. It's about something that we have forgotten about in REM. It says an action in REM is a proceeding that takes no cognizance of owner of what? Of the thing. What's the thing? The thing that was cut off of me. It says, but determines right in specific property against all of the world. Why did they bring up all of the world? Because the Anno Mundi calendar,
yeah.
0 to 5784, is the entirety of the world, whereas the Christian calendar is specific to a group of believers, a cult. And so the Jews created a character, the King of the Jews, known as Jesus, to do what? To capture all that property. Until you come to yourself.
Okay, hold on. Oh, you got to explain. Okay, so here the Jews created a character to capture all the property. Jesus Christ, King of the Jews.
King of the Jews.
They create this character.
Isn't that what they call Jesus? King of the Jews.
Yes.
Okay.
Wow. That's amazing. So they create this character, so there's a time slot on this calendar, the Anno Domini calendar. No, the Anno Mundi, you said. Anno Mundi calendar.
Anno Mundi on your drawing is the far left dot zero and the far right dot 5784. That's the entire Anno Mundi calendar right there.
Now, and they put a character, they plop a character in the timeline named Jesus Christ, and they mark it. So when they put that character in place, that's long before the Gregorian calendar changed from into one. So they put Jesus Christ in this timeline as an existing character, and then that's the AD, BC, this is that area.
No, don't even go there. Right? You don't even need to do all that shit. Nope, never bring that up again. That's not relevant.
Okay.
Add all those details when you don't need them. You have four dots on a piece of paper. You have four dots on a piece of paper. That's all you have.
Right.
You don't have any of these other things. You don't even have to bring them up. There is the rest of it is more details that are nonsensical. You have four dots on a piece of paper. The far left dot is zero, and the far right dot is 5784.
Okay.
And then you have another dot just to the right of the far left dot, which is the year one.
Okay.
And it goes to 2024. It's a very small line. That's Christianity.
Okay.
It's not reality. The world exists from 0 to 5784, according to the Jews. But here's the thing. Here's my point. Is from 0 to 1 is where Jesus existed. Your amnion, which surrounded you in the womb, is Jesus.
Oh, shit. Oh, my God.
And when they clamp and cut the cord and leave Jesus behind at the birthday, they hang Jesus on the X or on the cross, right there at the beginning of the Gregorian calendar.
Oh my gosh, Jesus is hanging on the cross. That's crazy.
And so all the believers of Christianity are hanging on a cross because of the belief in Christianity, and they're stuck in the past. They're hanging in the past. They can't progress. They're stuck. They're actually hanging up. And until they come down off the cross back into reality and get into the present moment, they're going to be hanging there forever. And they're going to die hanging there. They're giving up all their property hanging there. All their property is held in trust while they hang there. So imagine a people coming up with an idea that if we can get this group of people to believe in the King of the Jews, and we can hang the King of the Jews on a cross, then we can manage all their property.
Because
they'll never be present.
Sense.
They'll never be present. And if they're not present, they need a trust. And so we'll create the trust. It doesn't matter who did this. I'm just saying that the calendars are all made up. And if you follow calendars, you're going to fall into a fictitious realm anyway. The present moment doesn't follow calendars. So when you're fully present, mind, body, and spirit, all of the calendars are fictitious. They're all a farce. But I'm using this situation so you can see that even between the Judeo in the womb hyphen umbilical cord Christian, beginning at year one, you realize Judeo-Christian is actually all fictitious. It's all fiction. But they hang the time in the womb on the cross. And that cross evidences creation. It evidences all of your biology from zero. So it evidences your link to creation or your link to God. So God is now hanging on the cross. Because you've decided none of that mattered. None of the time in the womb matters to you. Man, I'm out here. You know, I get laid every day. I get to get drunk. I get to make a lot of money. I drive fast cars. Hey, all this shit out here, this is all worthwhile. Let me tell you something. None of it's yours out here. If you're hanging on the cross or if you're believing in birthdays, if you do all that stuff, all your property's held in trust. You don't own anything out here because of that missing, presumed dead person.
No, obviously you just said that seems like a very rational, I understand it seems very rational and like that's what's happening. Why can't that be, you can't even get this across to anybody that's claiming to be a Christian or claiming the birthday. You can't even get it into their head. And then here I am, and I hear it, and it makes so much sense. I mean, I just can't believe that people are so blocked. I mean, that seems like common sense. How you just broke it down, that makes a – I mean, and
so
no one will hear it.
Let me go
back. No one will hear it.
No, very rarely will somebody actually get it. But look at page 270 still.
Okay.
It says right. Determines right in specific property, specific species, specific property. That's biology. You're talking about from zero to your last breath. Fertilization, last breath, is specific to the biological, living, breathing, supreme being. Whereas the birth certificated fiction is a narrative in somebody else's story. Doesn't exist at all. So it says, determines right in specific property. Yeah, your biology against every other biological entity. Now you know what's yours, but you better know where you begin so that you can get the equity of that truth. If you're not able to get the equity of that truth, which begins at zero, you don't own any property, and you don't even have any way to pay anything. That's why I don't want to go there today, but let me keep reading here.
Okay.
No, it's just because when you see this, so it says, you got the book right in front of you?
I'm on, yep, absolutely.
It says, it is true that, in a strict sense, a proceeding in rem, what is in rem? Against the thing, not against the man, against the thing, which was cut off of you, and is on deposit. It's the trust res. It's the res held in trust. It says, it is true that in a strict sense, proceeding in rem is one taken directly against property and has for its object the disposition of property without reference to the title of individual claimants. In other words, it's a pool. They're not saying this is Chad's and this is Kurt's. They're saying this is John Doe. A pool of biology. I call it the cesspool, the mass, the masses, the Christ mass, the Christmas.
Leviathan.
It says, it is Leviathan, and there's a reason for that. But it says title of individual claimants. But in a larger and more general sense, the terms are applied to actions between parties where the direct object is to reach and dispose of property owned by them or some interest therein. Such are cases commenced by attachment against the property of debtors or instituted to partition real estate, foreclose a mortgage, or enforce a lien. What is the property they're talking about? They're talking about the afterbirth, but more specifically, they're talking about the placenta, the fetal maternal placenta, which has some of your biology and some of mom's. So they're able to confuse you with another. And that's the bundle of rights, or that's the social contract. But the next paragraph then says what? It says, in the strict sense of the term, a proceeding in rem is one which is taken directly against property or which is brought to enforce a right in the thing, the fetal maternal placenta itself. Actions in which the court is required to have control of the thing. Control of the thing. Do they? Yeah, it's on deposit, and they call it what? They call it bailment. That's what's been bailed. So they're holding this thing on deposit. So it says, have control of the thing or object, and in which an adjudication is made as to the object which binds the whole world. That's the Anamundi calendar.
Wow.
And then it goes on to say, and simply not the interest of the parties in the proceeding. Look at the whole world begins at zero and goes to 5784 according to the Anamundi Jewish calendar. But me specifically, I'm the baby that left all that stuff behind. My 46 chromosomes identifies my origin. Listen to me, I'm splitting hairs here. My origin is fertilization, which resulted in the zygote. So from fertilization to last breath or this moment is the present for me. But when my biology plants into the uterine wall, something else is created, a fetal-maternal organ known as the placenta. So when the afterbirth comes out after me, the 46-chromosome baby, supreme being from fertilization to last breath, when the placenta comes out, it has part of my biology and part of mom's biology. And that...
Can I ask you a quick question really quick about that?
Yeah.
When the accretion is formed, when the maternal part of the placenta is formed, the accretion, it forms over, after implantation, it forms over the conceptus. And does the conceptus form its portion of a placenta and join with the accretion? But do you know what I'm asking?
Think about it this way. Chad, you got this brick of clay, and you have a marble. They're totally different in consistency. The marble is not permeable. The marble is me. It's my conceptus. It's my zygote. Push the marble. Think about it. You push a marble into the clay. Does the marble actually become part of the clay?
No.
No. The glass never mixes with the clay. Just like my biology never mixes with the uterine wall. The uterine wall is the clay. My biology, I'm the marble, and I don't mix with the clay. So it's easy to actually distinguish the two properties, but they don't do that. They want it to be confused. So when the fetal-maternal so-called placenta comes out, they deal with it as if it's one thing, when instead it's actually two pieces of property that are stuck together. And that's why there's confusion. It's fused. Confused. Those two things are fused together. And that's what and that's the second coming. Remember that the baby comes out first, and then something comes out after baby, the afterbirth itself, and that's called the second coming. Well, what do they refer? Who's referred to when they speak of the second coming?
Jesus.
Yeah, that the afterbirth is the second coming is Jesus, the amnion.
Right.
By the way, it's the Jesus fish. Why? Because it was born to the water. It was actually created in the water.
Yes, the vesica Pisces. Yes.
The vesica Pisces.
Yeah,
the vagina. Yeah, I mean, and that's the vagina is actually what? The Stargate. The Stargate. Where you come out of the heavens. You come out of the waters of Mother. Let me finish this because it's so weird.
Please.
So it says, in which an adjudication is made as to the object, I'm on page 271, which binds the whole world. Binds the whole world. And that bind, to bind is the bondage. It's the bond. Well, what's the bond? What did they do? They took a piece of me and put it into the public pool. Now I'm mixed up with everybody else. That's a form of bond. I'm mixed in. I'm connected to everybody else. That's the public pool. I call it the mass. I call it the black mass because it's dead. And by the way, I do call it Leviathan because Leviathan is also known as what? A sea monster. Well, the human remains, the part of me that was left behind, the afterbirth, came from the water. and it doesn't have a spine. It's like a jellyfish. It's a monster. It's a 92-chromosome monster. So there's baby, and then there's the sea monster that comes out after baby, which is an unidentifiable 92-chromosome mass. And what do they do with that mass? They mix it up with all the other masses into one giant global leviathan. And what do they call that? They call that the public. And what else do they call it? They call it democracy, global democracy. And that is the court of public opinion. So now all of the lowest version of you, by the way, one cell versus the man I'm talking to right now, Chad, which is the lower form of life? The man I'm talking to right now or the single cell?
Single cell.
Absolutely. It doesn't matter how perfect it is. What I'm saying is that the one cell is not the man I'm talking to now, which is the fruit or the product of the single cell. So you have evolved into this amazing man. Well, guess what? They're taking the lowest version of you, the lowest, the earliest version of you, a vestige of your earlier form, and putting it into the public, and that's the lowest common denominator.
Wow.
And it's a denomination. And what's it, and the denomination is the birth certificated name. So you have a name, a birth certificated name, that is a denomination, which is the title or the label to the lowest common denominator that puts you in the public pool with everyone else. And now, any crime that's ever committed in that public or in that realm or in that fiction, they can pull you in on it. It doesn't matter who commits it. John Doe's on the original form, and then all you have to do is come in and do what? State your name for the record. State your name for the record. And you give them a name.
Oh, my gosh.
And you've just claimed the prize of the crime. You're the criminal now.
And pool. I'd love to keep going in that set that you.
No, I want to finish. Oh, yeah. I want to finish on page. Yeah. I want to finish on page 271 because it's so amazing to me. I'm reading this book, and again, I have different eyes to see now than when I first read it. But it's interesting that on page 61, book one of Jean-Jacques Rousseau, Social Contract, amazing book. But he actually says, and I want you to hear me on this because it's so amazing. It says, and this is when words get lost over time, their actual meaning. It says, the public person, this is right, this is his words, not mine. The public person, thus formed by the union of all other persons, was once called the city. Let me say that again.
Shit.
The public person, thus formed by the union of all other persons, was once called the city. So what do they call them now? The city is now called a republic or body politic. But they're talking about citizens. The collection of citizens is the city.
Oh,
is the city.
Gosh.
So it's the city isn't a bunch of buildings. The city isn't a bunch of cars and trucks, you know, driving around. The city is the person, the collection of fictitious persons. And that fictitious person is the birth certificated person, the juridical person that makes up what? The Church of Rome, the Catholic Church. So the city, I call it the city of God. All you have to do is look up city of God, and you'll see that that's the city. And so, and the only way you can get back to God or brush elbows with all those other citizens is to accept the birth certificate. That's the only way you can actually get into the city. But you'll find that everybody's actually stuck in the city. That's the real thing. Because the 14th Amendment birth certificated citizenship is that. Everybody claiming a birthday is exactly what Rousseau said. He said, the public person thus formed by the union of all other persons was once called the city. It's the personality, it's the person, the fictitious person. All of those fictional persons make up the city.
The city is the public.
And this, and all you have to do is look up the word city, and you'll realize what you're dealing with here. That's why I say, if you know the truth all the way back to fertilization, and you know that fertilization of last breath is one continuous and contiguous lifetime, one, doesn't matter about all the fictions they make up, doesn't matter about all the stories they make up, one unbroken lifetime, then you have the equity you need in their world, in that world. If you claim a birthday, you cut yourself off from the equity. You cut yourself off from the equity by claiming the birthday. It's your claim. So it's pretty amazing how simple this is when you realize we make all of the problems for ourselves, whether it's religion or politics, whether we choose a side. Remember, you don't, the truth doesn't have any sides. You don't have to choose a side when you're living in the light of truth. There are no sides. Is doesn't have a side. Is doesn't have a side. There is no either or in is, because both either and or are part of is. Well, if I pick this over that, it's all part of the whole. And remember that the parts, the separated parts, are details, and details are where the devil lives. If you go all the way back to W-H-O-L-E, whole, isness, there is no devil. There's no devil because there's no details.
Wow! That's crazy. Oh, my gosh. That's,
there's no devil because there's no crazy details.
That's amazing.
Let me put it another way. I have a dollar. I have a dollar. And a dollar is supposedly made up of 100 pennies. 100. If I take one penny out of the 100, the one penny becomes a detail. Not only that, I don't have a dollar anymore. I'm not whole. So the penny becomes a detail. A detail. And in the Bible, they call that the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost whatever. What I'm getting at is when you put it back together, the dollar's whole again. Or the same with a bushel of apples, 100 apples. If I take one apple out, the one apple becomes a detail. Now I'm focused on the one apple, and I forget about all the rest of the 99. But if I put the one apple back in, the bushel becomes whole again, the same with the man. From fertilization to last breath is all one life. If I cut a piece off and look at it separately, the separation is a detail. Now I'm dealing with the devil. Mm-hmm. I'm dealing with the devil because of the cut.
Wow.
Equity so, in nature is everything. It's from fertilization to last breath is equity.
I looked up city, and definition 1D is interesting. A usually large or important municipality in the U.S. governed under a charter granted by the state. Then there's an incorporated municipal unit of the highest class in Canada, or the influential financial interest of the British economy. These are all definitions of city. That's insane. An incorporated British town, usually a major size or importance, having the status of an episcopal see.
An episcopal see, that's obviously that's ecclesiastical.
Yeah. Okay.
And then, but look at it. It also, it says, E says an incorporated municipal unit of the highest class in Canada. City state is number two. The people of a city. The people of a city.
Oh, there it is. Well, that's what you quoted. Yes. Okay.
But look at this. Number four, slang for city says a thing, event, or situation that is strongly characterized by a specified quintessential feature or quality. Quintessential feature. The zygote is quintessential to me. The afterbirth is quintessential. it evidences my origin, for crying out loud. If I remove the evidence of my origin, I can't claim to be. Hell, I can't claim to be. If I have no origin, I can't be here.
Can't claim to be.
No, you can't. You can't be here. Yeah, it's weird.
Okay.
All right. So I think I hammered that horse to death. I beat that dead horse to death.
All right. Let me give you the next one. Let me see here. All right. Oh, yes. Actors' equity.
Actors' equity.
Is that what it's called? There's something you touched on a while back where it was like in 1913 where they put in something in the something for actors. Actors Guild. I have Actors' Equity up on Wiki here.
I'll go to Actors'
and it's something
Equity.
That gives,
No, keep going.
Well, there was some. I remember in one of your talks, and it was something that gave. They referred to them as actors, and it gave them certain rights, or there was some kind of thing they put into law, where they're granted certain things that I didn't know enough about it.
Do you just have to think about it? Let me know. That's what I mean. To me, this is so obvious. This is so obvious. I'm going to go to equity first. Okay.
Okay.
At Webster's, I'm going to keep it simple here. Equity, DEF for definition. I'm going to Webster's equity. What the very first line? It says 1A. This is equity at Webster's. 1A. Justice according to natural law. Justice according to natural law. When does natural law begin for you?
Fertilization.
At what?
Fertilization.
At fertilization. So it says justice according to natural law, which is for you. Your kingdom began at fertilization. So natural law for you begins with your existence.
Okay.
You don't care about what happens before you existed. It doesn't matter what happened before you existed. But when you began, which begins at fertilization, natural law is on your side. Natural law begins at fertilization. So look what it says here. Equity, justice according to natural law. So you have to include your origin in order to have equity.
Mm. Yeah.
Which is 0 to 1. 0 to 1. The Anno Domini calendar, or Anno Mundi calendar, all the way up to the Gregorian calendar, is 0 to 1. That's where your equity began. It began at 0.
Mm-hmm.
Where did the actor begin? Where did the fictitious character begin?
Oh, my gosh.
Where did it begin?
At 1. At the birthday.
At 1 at the birthday. The birth certificated character is a fiction. It's the actor. It's not the actor, it's the character that the actor is playing. I got to be really careful. So Curtis Richard Kallenbach is like clothing. It's like clothing. When I put on Curtis Richard Kallenbach, what's underneath Curtis Richard Kallenbach?
My biology
is under it. My biology, my body's underneath the character. Where did my biology begin?
At fertilization.
So my biology is my body, it's my being. But if I wear the clothes of the birth certificated character, I put on the clothing of Curtis Richard Kallenbach, I've clothed myself in a character at birthday. So the birthday begins a character that I can clothe myself in. Right?
Yes.
If I'm clothing myself in the character, am I not acting as Curtis Richard Kallenbach?
Yes.
But who's doing the acting? The character or the biology inside the clothes?
The biology.
The biology. So I'm the actor. I'm the actor that's performing the character known as Curtis Richard Kallenbach. But my biology begins at fertilization. The character is born, B-O-R-N-E, at birthday. So the character begins at birthday, Gregorian calendar birthday. That character is Christianity. It's the Christian. So now my biology, which begins at zero on a Monday, year of the world, my existence begins at 01, but when I clothe myself in the Christian calendar, I'm frozen in the Christian timeline, in the Christian realm, in on the Christian calendar. I never go beyond 2024. I can't. That's the calendar. As long as I'm wearing the clothing of a character performing in the Christian realm, I never go beyond 2024 because that's the year that the Christianity's in right now, isn't it?
Yes.
So I can't get beyond 2024. But in the year of the world, Anumundi, it's 5784. It's 3,760 years beyond that. So let me hear me on this, Chad. This is weird. If I'm playing the role of somebody in 2024, but I exist 3,760 years from now, if I believe it's 2024, but the Jewish calendar of the world says it's 5784, way out there, 3,760 years from now, is the present to them. So look at this. If I'm playing the Christian and I'm stuck back here, but I'm using the energy of the present 3,760 years away, am I not in debt to the one way out there in front of me? If I'm using something in advance, if I'm using something before I've earned it,
am I
not the debtor? I'm the debtor, am I not?
Yes.
So the Christian is the debtor. The Christian on the Christian calendar, the Gregorian calendar, is the debtor. We're the one in the present moment that actually embodies the energy, that supplies the energy, that has the breath of God in him. He's the creditor. So the present, doesn't matter what day you call it. I call it, you know, fertilization of last breath. My last breath is in this moment. It's an inspiration. I'm inspired. I'm filled with the breath of God. That's also known as the spiritual man. I'm the spiritual man in the present, but I'm lending all my product to a character stuck 3,760 years in the past on a Christian calendar, the Gregorian calendar. He's using my presence in advance. So I'm the creditor and the birth certificated person stuck back there is the debtor. But I'm the same guy. I'm both the creditor and the debtor.
So that's
what happens
by the biblical. Why do you dine with her? Why do you eat
with? It's the prodigal son. It's the prodigal son. So the Christian that's using his inheritance, using my energy in advance, he's the prodigal son. He's out there. He's the spendthrift. He's the one wasting all of his inheritance in advance. And then he has to go and eat with the pigs.
Oh.
So in the present moment, that's the supply of energy. But the Christian calendar way back there using my energy in you know, 3,760 years in the past, he's using his inheritance in advance. The Christian is the prodigal son. And he's using his energy before he's earned it. Now, in reality, all this shit doesn't matter. It's all fake.
Right.
But in their world, on their timeline, he's the prodigal son. And he's using up his father's inheritance in advance. And then he has to go eat with the pigs after he spends everything. We're coming into that right now. We're coming into the place where all of us will have to eat with the pigs. Because all the money's been spent. but not in reality. In reality, we're the owners. We're the kings. But they got us believing we're the debtors. We've spent all our money. In the present, there is no advance. In the present, there is no debt. In the present. Think about that. There's no debt in the present. There's no debtors in nature. When I go out and dig a hole, I own the hole. If somebody wants the hole or wants to buy the hole, he pays me for the hole. When does he pay me? He pays me in the present. Now we're back to zero. In the present, it's all zero. When I do something and I give it away or whatever, we're back to zero. But it's the present. But once it crosses the threshold from the present to the past, it becomes a debt. But there is no past in reality. I've never been there. I don't even know what it's like. Again, when I was sitting for my fifth grade class picture, what day was it?
Today.
It was today.
I love that.
So the whole idea is that they got us believing in nonsense. And we are suffering. We are suffering for the nonsense. All we have to do is wake up, get ourselves out of the delta wave of infancy. That's what infancy is. It's delta wave thinking. We have to get out of that infancy thinking, the infantile mindset, the delta wave. And
wow.
Realize we need to be responsible for our own actions. But the idea is this. We need to stop agreeing to be the debtor,
yeah,
when in fact we supply the energy. What they did in the 1930s was amazing. Let's get back to the idea of actors' equity. Actors' equity, what year did actors' equity come about in the United States of America? What year was it?
1913.
What else happened in 1913?
Okay, don't tell me. 1913... Oh, I don't know.
The Federal Reserve was created.
Yeah.
You're not going to believe what I'm about to say, so I'm going to say it really slow.
Okay.
Actors' equity. The actor, the biological being wearing the clothing of the Christian, of the birth certificated Christian. Now, birth certificates didn't come out until 1933 when FDR created a what?
Consecrated
nation. But they were working on all this stuff the whole time, and here's the deal. In 1913, they created the Federal Reserve. Federal means man's covenant with God. You look up at etymology online, look up small f federal, and it says, man's covenant with God. Well, what is that? That's creation. My covenant with God is to know that I came from fertilization. From fertilization to this moment, I'm retaining my covenant. I am intact. I'm whole. I'm whole from fertilization to last breath. What if I break that covenant and I take on a character? If I take on a birth certificated character or a Christian, I've broken my covenant with God. Actors' equity is, which was created the same year as the Federal Reserve. What is the reserve? It's the part of you that was cut off and placed on deposit that evidences your link to God. Well, that's your covenant. So they take a piece of you off that evidences your link to God, and that becomes your equity because that's part of nature. And the actor playing the role of Christian or the role in the public, he has that equity, which is nature, if he understands how to use it. Now, I don't want to play the game. I don't want to be an actor in my own life. I'm the author. I'm not the actor. Mm. I'm the author. And what was the to be for author?
God.
I'm God. In my life, I'm the creator. I create all my stuff. I'm the author.
Wow.
Within my own life story. My story. Mystery. My story. Mystery, my story, mystery, my story, mystery. And if you look up mystery, it says what? It says Eucharist. And the Eucharist is that piece of me that was cut off. The Eucharistic elements are my own biology. It's my amnion. They call it the Jesus or the Christ.
How much
and
work
but it's
they
called
give
myth.
To just give this tunnel this like total just goose chase of like words, and it's just crazy. I mean, even the Actors Equity, it says it's an American labor union.
Right. Right. And when mom goes into labor, what does she produce?
Exactly.
What does mom bring to the table, actually? If you already existed and then you planted into mom's uterine wall, what does mom bring to the table?
The placenta.
The accretion.
Yeah, the accretion.
The accretion. And by the way, the accretion is, in their world, it's the motherland. And in this place, it's called the American woman. She's native to the ground. That's or earth. The American woman, of course, there was a band back in the 70s that sang about the American woman.
American woman, yes.
The guess who, get away from me. American woman, mama set me free. Yeah, it's the afterbirth. And the fetal maternal part is you're still bound to the American woman. That the accretion that is evidenced in the fetal maternal placenta, which is the birth certificated person, Jesus and Mary, you're actually subjecting yourself to Rome through that American woman. But the American woman, which is the accretion, is also known as the mother of Rome, known as Venus. Kind of interesting. Venus is the mother of Rome. You can go and look at all this stuff all the time, but it's really simple. I just look for evidence that ties it all together. But the reality is the present moment is not subject. If you know your godly origin from fertilization to last breath, everything goes away. They don't have any way to hold you if you're not nuts, if you're not insane. Their own Jesus says, they that are whole, W-H-O-L-E, need not a physician. You don't need remedy when you're not sick. You don't need, you're never disabled. You're not broken. You don't need a bridge over the troubled water of the cut. You don't need a boat to get from here to there. You don't need anybody's assistance in the present moment. It's that simple. But the actor, back to Actors Equity. Remember that the actor is the one underneath the character. My existence began at fertilization, but when they gave me a birth certificated character and I believed that character was me, I believed that the birth certificated Curtis Richard Kallenbach was me. So I surrounded myself with that character, which is the Jesus fish, and now I'm in the waters of mother forever.
Wow.
There it is.
Wow.
The fish, so now I've surrounded myself, I'm ensconced with that character, and now I'm stuck in the womb forever. I'm actually attached, they call it a record, I call it a record. When I take on the birth certificated character, I record myself to the uterine wall. That uterine wall, by the way, is known as the matrix. So I record myself to the matrix every time I claim or perform the birth certificated person, because it is an infant that is attached to the uterine wall. Record. Pronounce it properly. Don't call it a record, because it might get lost, but it's a record. You are recording yourself to the uterine wall.
Wow.
You're reconnecting to the uterine wall. That's the infant. And do infants have legal capacity?
No.
No, they don't. So now you need somebody to act on your behalf. By the way, if you're W-H-O-L-E, do you have a half? if you're whole, if you're all present and accounted for from fertilization to last breath, is there any place for somebody to act on your behalf?
No.
No.
Wow, be half. Wow.
I'm never half. I'm always all.
You
all
just reminded me
and accounted for.
Fertilization, the last breath. I love this. But you just reminded me of how they use the words, and then the word goods, unborn of animals. But when you're like, hey, Tom, how are you? I'm good. How about you?
It's all good.
Good. We're all, it's good. They got us saying it. This is the water. This is how we don't identify because it's literally everywhere. So we're saying I'm good is part of it. I'm the unborn of animals too. How are you? You know, I love that.
Dave, what was the
Shakespeare?
Shakespeare. All the world's a stage. We are merely players. And, of course, the player itself is the birth certificated character. Or actually the player, if you think about it, the player is the man underneath the character. That's why this is so dangerous. We got to be careful because the actor is not the character. The actor is the one performing the character. Actor's equity means that the one performing the character has an equitable position in the performance. The problem is when you claim a birthday, you cut yourself off from getting paid. You cut yourself off from the equity because the man disappeared, because nature disappeared. Dead bodies can never expect to get paid, and ghosts can never expect to get paid. If you're not all here, you know, don't expect to get paid. By the way, has anybody been paid since 1933 with the birth certificates? No. It's all notes of debt. So nobody's been paid because nobody's here. They're all wearing the birth certificate. They're all performing the character, but the actor went missing. The true actor went missing. You know, all that's left is the character. Everybody keeps playing the role of the character. Who is it? Obama that said, we all have our roles to play. No, thank you. You know, I'm not playing.
Even in the Wikipedia Pope, I think I looked it up a long time ago, but it was saying that this person is in the role of the Pope. It was even used the word role. Like, there it is.
What's interesting about Rome is you got two positions for Rome. You have both the political aspect and you have the church. You have the church and the state in Rome. And the Pope is both the head of state and the father of the church. Think about that. So he gets to capture both sides of the equation when you're cut in half or when you're living on behalf of somebody else or some other character. He has both sides of that, both the father and the mother church and the state father. What do they call that?
Wow. So, sovereign of the public.
Again, right, but it's not real. That's the whole point, is that I'm looking right now, I'm at my wife's shop, and I'm looking out the window at cars passing, and I'm looking at businesses happening, and that's all substance. That's all reality. People go, well, Kurt, is nothing real? It's all real. And, you know, here's a window. I'm knocking on a window. That's all real. The world. But it's the fact that everybody's playing a character and they don't know it. So they're responding. Mm-hmm. They're responding to fictitious stimuli. That's what I'm getting at. All the stories we're being told, the wars in the Middle East, all these things, they get us to do what? Put on masks and take vaccines and do all this shit. That's not true. None of it. They just get us to do things based upon the stories they tell, but the stories are all fictitious. That's the problem. We can't look out the window and say, hey, it's raining out. What do? We look at our phone and they go, oh, there's a chance of rain today. You know what? Look out your window. Walk outside and see if it's hot out. Well, the phone says In other words, we're using digital access devices to see what reality is. That doesn't even make sense. Go experience it firsthand and stop believing the nonsense you're being told. Hey, Kurt, there's a pandemic out there. Oh, really? I don't see bodies in the street. I don't. You know what? If they were carting bodies, if they were picking up bodies off the street, I might consider that it might be true. But everything the whole thing was fake. All of this shit is fake. All the stuff with, you know, the world politics is fake. They're all actors. They're just making shit up to take money from us, to take our energy, to take our time, to take our lives, to get us to become the labor force. I mean, that's what I was getting at earlier, is that in the mid-1930s, once they established a birth certificated actor, they could do anything. They created the AFL-CIO. They created labor unions. Well, guess what? When mom goes into labor, what does she produce? She produces a fetal maternal accretion.
Shit.
And that's what they're using. That's what she produces through her labor. She doesn't produce the baby. She carries the baby. She produces the accretion. That's her property. That's what she actually produces. But the baby existed, you know, long time before the accretion. I mean, 6-7 days at least. So the baby is not a product of mom. Mom carries the baby. Mom carries the fetus. Mom carries the embryo. She doesn't create the baby. This is going to be tough for women. Mom carries the baby. What does mom make to accommodate the baby inside her? She creates an accretion, which is a uterine wall product. And when that comes out, it's called born alive. Now you got a legal concept, a legal conception that they can actually attach me to, because my biology is physically attached to it in the placenta. So what do I get to do? I believe I'm Curtis Richard Kallenbach, and so I start playing the role of that legal conception. Now I'm stuck in the legal world, the fictitious realm, because I think I am. And that's just made up. It's a piece of paper with some words on it. And it has a date on a calendar, the Gregorian calendar, which isn't real either. Made up by Pope Gregory in 1582. More bullshit. Anyway, come up with something fun to talk about here.
That's great. Oh, okay. All right.
It's pretty easy, though, isn't it? Don't you find it really, if you just stop and think, get rid of all these extra ideas and look at the source of the thought. When you start to really think about it and you go, well, what about all that? Those questions don't even mean anything when you start to think clearly. Wait a minute here. Do any calendar apply?
I mean, the thing is like when you break it down, it brings my mind to think clearly, and I can see where everyone gets lost, because when you break it down, I see it, but I all my life, I guess all everyone's life, we don't think this way. I don't know why. I mean, it is so simple. And now when you say, especially when you say, and the after is the biology underneath the character, for some reason, I don't know why I would overstep that thought. You know, again, it's back to that whole, like, we walk right past the truth and right past the present and the reality, and we go right into we jump right into that sidetrack. And it just takes us, you know. But
it's funny, you use the word sidetrack, just like if you look at two parallel train tracks, one track is your life in reality, the other track, the parallel universe, is the Gregorian calendar, and you can't distinguish the two. Once you're on the other track, and you're using the birth certificated character, you can't tell the difference because all the substance of the world is still the same. But now you're wearing, you're clothed or ensconced in a character that is subject to an entirely fictitious legal system. Here, the best way for Chad, this is the easiest way to look at everything for me. So I wake up in the morning, I'm in bed, physically. I'm right there. I mean, all the, everything I touch, I can feel it. It's all substance. Oh, Kurt, it's just a hologram. None of it's real. Oh, shut the fuck up. It's all real. I mean, seriously, it's all real. All the substance is real. Everything about our existence is real. The problem is our mind is corrupted. We believe something that isn't true. I believe I'm Curtis Richard Kallenbach, which isn't true, which subjects me to a set of rules like speeding tickets and DUIs and all the other shit that they have legally set up for that character. In reality, it doesn't apply at all. Now, here's the thing. The easiest way for me to look at this is to take and do something everybody can do. So I'm laying in bed. The alarm clock goes off. Oh, the alarm clock, a fake time frame, right? I mean, it says it's 7 o'clock. It's not 7 o'clock. It's light out. You know,
wow.
7 o'clock is meaningless. It's arbitrary. It's just a number somebody put on a moment in time. It's not real.
Yeah.
Even 7 o'clock is not real. It's the fact that it's, oh, I'm done sleeping and it's light outside. The clock says it's seven. It doesn't mean it's seven. You know what I mean? So I wake up at 7 o'clock because the alarm clock. It's an alarm clock for. It's not. They're telling you right there, hey, you're about to go into something dangerous because you were woke up with an alarm clock. So you better be careful because of the alarm clock. It just woke you up, and now you're inside this realm, which is alarming. So here you go. You wake up and you brush your teeth and take a shower and get all ready. And by the way, that's all substance. That's all world of substance stuff. But then, what do? You pick up your wallet, and your wallet has a driver's license in it, and that driver's license says, Curtis Richard Kallenbach, born September 19th, 1960, whatever, blah, blah, blah. That's a character. But I'm not going to go there because that's too easy for me. I'm going to say that I believe I don't believe anything. When I get up, before I go out the door, I'm an actor. I'm actually an actor. Most people don't know they're actors, but I know I'm an actor. So I get up, and I put on the garb, the clothing of Harry Potter. Because today I go out and play the role of Harry Potter. Everybody knows Harry Potter. Now, it's easy to go, well, Kurt's not Harry Potter. Well, I know, but I'm also not Curtis Richard Kallenbach. What I'm getting at is, if I can actually put a character in front of you, that if I say, Chad, when you wake up in the morning, imagine clothing yourself in the clothing, covering yourself in the clothing of Harry Potter. Well, Kurt, I don't like that style. I don't give a shit, Chad. Put the Harry Potter clothes on and go out the door. So now you're outside. You're outside in the public wearing Harry Potter's clothes, and you go and you make a bunch of money performing as Harry Potter. That day you were on stage all day long, and all kinds of money was made through the character of Harry Potter. That day you made $1,000 as Harry Potter. And you get up the next morning and put on Harry Potter again. At the end of the week, you've made $1,000 a day. You made $5,000 that week as Harry Potter. Well, who has a right to all the money that you earned as Harry Potter? J.K. Rowling. Didn't J.K. Rowling create Harry Potter? Supposedly? Yes. So she has a legitimate claim to all the money you earned as Harry Potter. Well, guess what? The same holds true when you go out the door or when I go out the door pretending to be Curtis Richard Kallenbach. Whoever created Curtis Richard Kallenbach has the same legitimate claim to everything I earn playing the role of Curtis Richard Kallenbach. Now, who created that character? I don't know. The Roman Catholic Church, maybe. I'm just guessing, but it seems highly probable. But my point is that I don't have any right to anything I earn while I'm playing the character of another. And that's my point. Is the calendar, the Gregorian birth certificated character, which was created by Pope Gregory in 1582, if you go out of the house playing the role of that character, then whoever created that calendar or timeline or time frame has a legitimate claim to all of the property or all the product of your energy. Because you're earning everything through that character.
It's devastating. It's It's devastating.
It is devastating. It is devastating when you learn the truth. But now, wait a minute. Actors Equity says that I actually have an equity in the role. I mean, I'm the biology underneath the character, so I should have an equitable position for that performance. Only if I know that equity is part of nature. Only if I go back to fertilization do I actually have a legitimate equity. If I'm the actor, if I step up on stage right now, and I start orating in the character of Harry Potter, I'm the actor. Harry Potter is the character. The actor should be paid for his effort. The owner of the narrative or the owner of Harry Potter would also get paid. But I'm the actor. That I should get paid for my effort. If I have equity, I would get paid. If I give up my equity, if I volunteer for the role, I lose my equity. And that's what everybody's doing. They're all volunteering for the role. And equity doesn't aid a volunteer. So you don't get your equity when you volunteer the birth certificated character role. You see what I'm getting at?
Wow. That's incredible. Yes. I see it.
But Actors Equity was establishing actors' equity, an actor's position, the same year as the Federal Reserve was created. Federal Reserve. A reserve, like no different. Look at RES, res, reservation. Let's look up reserve real quick, or res. Let's look up res, R-E-S.
In Webster.
Let's look up reserve, R-E-S-E-R-V-E in Webster's. This is weird. So federal means man's covenant with God, reserve. Look what it says here. To hold back. In reserve, to keep back. Does that sound like I'm in the present, but they're keeping part of me back there in the Christian calendar, 3,760 years in the past?
Yes.
They're keeping something back. They're withholding something from my own presence. How about this? 1B says to set aside part of the consecrated elements at the Eucharist.
Whoa.
For future use. That's a reserve. So the Federal Reserve, look at that. They're actually telling you they're holding some of your existence, the consecrated elements, your own amnion, your own deposition, the biological deposit is the Federal Reserve. Look at this. 1C says to retain or hold over to a future time or place. A future time from when? From the Gregorian calendar year 2024. 3,760 years in the past. I should be clear about this, though. The Anno Mundi calendar says it's 5784, which is 3,760 years, you know, away from the Christian calendar. Well, the Freemason calendar says it's the year 6,000-something. So even the Freemasons are further ahead than even the Jews. Think about that.
Wow.
So the Anno Mundi calendar is a subset of the Freemason calendar. I didn't want to get into that earlier.
Ooh.
Because it's already too confusing. But are any of the calendars applicable to reality?
Oh, but that sounds so interesting.
I know.
No.
So what you would have to do, Chad, is you would have to put another dot to the right of your furthest right dot right now to the year 6,000.
Yeah.
Or something like that. But I mean, and that's now you got a timeline within a timeline within a timeline.
Well, that just goes to show the tree of how it keeps subsetting. Yeah, and subsetting the calendars one, and you said it's a subset of the prior one. So what's above the Freemason? I mean, that's
I don't know. Reason, well, it doesn't even matter because none of them apply to reality.
Yeah,
none of them apply
exactly.
to reality. But
exactly.
A Freemason, M-A-S-O-N, Mason, M-A-S-O-N. If you look up M-A, it means mother. So now you got mother's son. Mason, mother's son. Back to reserve, not that 1B wasn't enough. It says to make... 1D says to make legal reservation. I'm gonna actually click on the hyperlink reservation.
Okay.
It just says an act of reserving something, such as the act or fact of a grantor is reserving some newly created thing out of the thing granted. I'm going to go one last thing here. I'm going to go to the word res because I think it's more important. I'm going to cut this down to R-E-S. And this is really weird. R-E-S. A particular thing, a matter. Res 2 of 3 noun says, a tract of land set aside for indigenous people of the United States and Canada, a reservation or a reserve. Look at that, a tract of land. You know what the tract of land is, don't you?
Of course, the placenta.
The mom's uterine wall accretion.
Yep.
Remember, you were floating in space until you landed. And where did you land? A tract of land. That's the uterine wall. And then when it comes out as afterbirth into fetal maternal placenta, then the tract of land is the mother part of the placenta. That's the tract of land. So that's the res or the reserve. That's the Federal Reserve. Why do I know that? Because federal is man's covenant with God, and the fetal maternal placenta evidences your godly origin. If you keep looking at this stuff, it all makes sense. So the Federal Reserve is a tract of land. Reservation or reserve is also what? The Eucharistic elements. And it says indigenous people. Yeah, the indigenous people of the United States. Well, who are they? Native Americans. Native. Are Native Americans Christians? No, they're the ones cut off from Christianity. They're the baby on the land. When baby gets cut off, when the umbilical cord gets cut off, the baby goes home as what? As an indigenous person on the land. Is he a Christian? No. He's a savage, and all of his property is held in reserve. What reserve? The Federal Reserve. Are you crying? because some people will be crying.
I was crying earlier, yes.
So, again, when you look at actors' equity, this coming up the same year as the Federal Reserve, and then when you finally learn the term agent or agency, if I was an actor, what do I need to secure a role? An agent.
Oh my gosh.
So what do? The agent does what? Through agency, I do what? I secure roles, and where do I play those roles typically? In the court. Somebody goes, well, court, do you mean like a courthouse? How about a courtyard or a court? And who am I playing to? I'm playing to the king or the king's men. The court. It's theater. And my agent secured me a role. Thank God. I was invited to the theater. My agent set it up. I get to play what? I get to play a Christian. And what is the performance? It's the Passion of the Christ. You're going to be executed. Oh, all right.
Oh, shit.
I'm not joking. That's being played. The Passion of the Christ and the execution of Jesus on the cross is the role you're playing in there.
Oh, man. They tie it to Hollywood, too. They make it so it's so like cunning that they would attach the Actors Equity Association and then link it to the Hollywood because they have that in place. So they make it look like it's all about film, but you know, they're telling you, even their logo is suspect with that white, cut white, like, thing in the middle of the two.
Or Actors Equity?
Yeah, it's also a trade union. That's interesting, too. Actors Equity has, like, a cut.
if people really look at, I mean, Actors Equity, I'm reading it right there at their logo. It says Actors Equity Association is the labor union representing American actors and stage managers in the theater. My guess is that's the courtroom. And the actors are those of us performing the character to be executed in the Passion of the Christ play, which is being performed in the courthouse, in the courtroom. Why? Because it's a Christian-based theater, and all the money is coming through Christianity. Remember, there's no money anymore. The blood of Christ, the deposit is the amnion, and the amnion is the blood of Christ. So when they took all the money out of the system, when FDR created the consecrated ground or consecrated nation, all you can do is go into the courtroom and execute the character. That's Jesus' death pays for all sins. What does the word sin mean? Look it up. It means debt, D-E-B-T. So all you're doing is when you execute the character in that courtroom, if you do it properly, the debt is paid. Through what? Through the execution of Jesus. What is that? That's your own deposit, your biological deposit. That's your equity. The moment your equity is recognized by the court, all charges are dropped. The moment your equity is recognized by the court, the charges are dropped because all bets are off, all debts are paid. But they're paid by your deposition or deposit. And what is your deposit? It is your biology. It is your amnion. It is your Lamb of God. It is your Jesus. That's what's on deposit. That's what pays the bill. There hasn't been money.
So,
yeah. You know?
If they don't execute, if you don't fulfill the role of the execution, then you have, in their world, equity.
If you don't fulfill the role, then there's still a debt to be paid. If you know how to execute Jesus in their system, you're going to walk away. There is no debt.
Oh.
But that's equity. Equity is actually your nature from fertilization. All the time in the womb is your equity. If you forget about your time in the womb, you also give up your equity. If you volunteer your time in the womb, you lose your equity. Because remember, equity doesn't aid a volunteer. So when you give up your time in the womb, which is your natural equity, which is also known as justice, when you give up your time in the womb, you lose your equity because it's considered to have been volunteered to the greater good. What's the greater good? The public pool of goods, the black mass. That's the greater good. You realize the greater good is all of the goods put into one pool?
Yes.
That's the greater good.
But the greater good.
That's volunteered. So when you volunteer away your equity, you lose the equity. And now you can be put in jail. You can be put in prison. You can have all your shit taken away. But what happens when you evidence your equity from fertilization to last breath? Not true. Now you have the Eucharistic deposit. Now you have the Jesus on deposit.
All right. Should we go to the next one?
Yes.
All right.
I love talking. Just so you know, I love talking to you because it they're new. I mean, a lot of this stuff is just me going into, you know, the intricacies. But the reality is,
right,
is a lot of people have these questions. A lot of people have these questions.
I love that. All right. I think you might. Let's see. So this next one is. The increase in diffusion of knowledge, the Smithsonian. I want to go down this path. I want to, with their logo being the pellucid membrane. can we talk a little bit about the Smithsonian?
Well, before you go to that, you're on your computer, right?
Yeah.
Go to Society of Jesus.
Okay.
Society of Jesus Wikipedia.
Right.
Or maybe you don't even have to do that. No, you don't even have to. If you just put Society of Jesus in, Google it, what do you come up with? The logo?
Yes, the black with the cross.
No, is that logo exactly the same as it is? Not the is not that logo the same as the Smithsonian?
Yes. Yes, it is.
And the Jesuits, their whole idea, their whole, I mean, their own motto is Perinde Ac Cadaver. Perinde space Ac space Cadaver, cadaver, meaning in the manner of a corpse. That's what it means. In other words, that the Jesuits are able to take over all of humanity through the dead body, the dead material, the left behind equity that nobody claims anymore. When you the cutting of the umbilical cord leaves behind a piece of you, and that piece of you becomes a decedent estate, a birth certificate, a decedent estate, that is what the Jesuits are using. That's the Society of Jesus. The Society of Jesus is using that piece of you, that Eucharistic element, to their advantage. And you leave it on the table, so you have no equity. But I just wanted to point out that the Jesuits logo and the Smithsonian's logo are nearly identical. And they do look like they do look like the process of fertilization, if you want to look at it that way, all the sperms trying to enter the ovum. But
the pellucid membrane itself. It has a very similar,
Yeah, if you look it up, or Wikipedia, it does have a similar look. But what your question about the Smithsonian?
Yeah.
Years ago, it was interesting because the Smithsonian. What is his name? Smithson, the one that supposedly started the Smithsonian Institution. I think that's all a fictitious nonsense, too. I don't think he ever existed, because here's an orphan child that ended up with billions of dollars in gold and never having set foot on the Americas, establishing this amazing institution. But his story, which is really funny, Smithson's own story, reads like a birth-certificated person story.
Yes.
And then the biggest thing that I noticed about the Smithsonian, other than, again, one of their statements is the diffusion of knowledge. Diffusion means to do what? Scatter it. To scatter knowledge. Put it all over the place so nobody can see it all at once. Scatter knowledge so you can't bring it all together. You can't pull yourself together. The knowledge is scattered everywhere. It's like an Easter egg hunt. You got to find all the eggs in order to put the story together. Well, guess what? I already did that. I put the story together. Sorry. No, you don't have to do it. You just have to learn it. You just have to understand it. But diffusion of knowledge is also the same, almost exact same verbatim as the Federal Bar Association. They use the term diffusion of legal knowledge. Same damn thing. A diffusion of knowledge is to scatter it so nobody can see it all in one place. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. Yes.
But I put it all together. I found all the pieces and put it all together and said, hey, look at this. Fertilization of last breath ends the narrative.
So do you think that they've been put in place in the fiction? Do you think that there's a lot of things that are actual, like, straight up lies, like that they're telling us, or they're just using the knowledge? No. Okay.
I think that if they say Noah's Ark in their narrative, and I know that the Ark itself is my zygote, and that inside the Ark, inside the zygote, I become Noah as the embryo. And so Noah and his Ark, what did the Ark do? The Ark was a collection of 2x2 animals, in other words, male and female of every kind, in the Ark. Well, guess what? All of my ancestry got together, male and female, 2x2. So my zygote is the exact same thing as Noah's Ark. My grandparents, grandma and grandpa, that's 2x2. my entire lineage, my entire ancestry, all of the animals of my family. When I say animal, I'm talking biology. All of the biological animals, grandpa and grandma, both sides, my mom and dad's side. My dad's side, grandpa and grandma, my mom's side, grandpa and grandma, all the way back. So when you put those two vines, those two bloodlines together, it becomes divinity or divinity. But my zygote, my single-cell zygote, is a product of all that divinity, of all those two-by-two animals, all the way back to the origin of man in my zygote. That's my arc. My arc is the archive of all biological information, all DNA, of all my families all the way back. That's my arc. That's the Ark of the Covenant. That's my zygote. So Noah, they can use, this is to answer your question again, when they say Noah's Ark, everybody pictures a flood. Well, what's the flood? It's the waters of mother's womb.
Wow.
It's the waters. It's mother's waters. That's the flood. And my boat is in those waters for what? 7 days-ish. And then on the seventh day, God rests. And I do what? I come to rest on Mount Ararat or something, you know, the uterine wall.
Oh, my gosh.
The mountain. But the biology, they turn a narrative, a religious idea, which is nothing more than biology. So you asked, are they lying? I'm saying they don't. I bet if you look at everything that's ever been said, it's never been an outright lie. It's been a lie by omission, it's been a lie by deception, it's a lie on many different ways, but I don't believe it's an outright lie. I think it actually is, they're telling the truth, but they're using words that we can't connect to the truth. You see what I'm getting at?
Yeah, of course. Sorry to say this, I mean, I hope it's not too cheap, but so the dinosaurs, okay, well,
say it.
I didn't go too deep. I started to go into it last night. I was looking up the different terms in dinosaurs and Mesozoic and the things that the Smithsonian have put out there. I didn't go too deep, so I guess I could bring it up to the table. But I guess I was leading towards it. That was an outright lie. Like, they're making up this concept of the dinosaurs as part of the fiction. But I didn't go too far. I mean,
I don't know.
That.
I mean, did any dinosaurs make it onto the ark?
No, actually, no.
And by the way, when? I mean, if you believe in Noah's ark, at what point, what animals were on the earth when they started entering the ark? See, that doesn't make any sense. What animals got onto the ark? Would they be the animals we have today? What about all the extinct animals? What about the animals like dinosaurs? Oh, they didn't really exist,
yeah.
Kurt. Oh, whatever. I know. Now you got to suspend reality again. In order for you to agree that it's okay to talk about two-by-two animals and on the ark and the flood 40 days and 40 nights, the point is you have to suspend any critical thinking completely. And by the way, the reason I got so involved with looking at the Smithsonian, not only because of James Smithson or whatever, he's actually the poster child for the birth certificate person, it's that when I started looking into Americana, which is a very big deal at the Smithsonian, Americana is the native, is the indigenous. It's the person born to the Americas, and that's what got me interested, because the baby outside the womb that's cut off from his godly origin, he participates in Americana. He's the American native. When people say, you know, baby comes out of mom and lands, and I land in Illinois, that would make me a native Illinoisan, the baby, a native Illinoisan. But what about the baby's true origin in the womb? Is that origin in the womb an Illinoisan? No. The baby on the land might be an Illinoisan, but the baby's origin which is evidenced by the umbilical cord and the extraembryonic, which is in the waters of mother. The waters of mother are not in Illinois. Do you know what I'm getting at?
Yeah.
So me coming out of mom and landing on the soil, so to speak, that's the Native American. But I didn't come from America. My biology didn't come from America. It came from dad's 23-chromosome sperm and mom's 23-chromosome sperm inside the waters of mother. I didn't begin in Illinois. I came from nowhere, from nothing. And then all of a sudden I existed again as a single-cell zygote. And then from that one cell, through the evolutionary due process of nature, the one cell became two, which became four, and then eight, and so on and so on and so on. And that's all evolutionary process. You know, I didn't come from a monkey. So when I say Darwin meets God, I'm talking about creation and then evolutionary process, evolutionary due process. And then from the one cell in the water to landing into the spongy, swampy uterine wall. And then from the swamp of the uterine wall, I come out of mother, and I end up what? Crawling around eventually. And then from crawling, I start standing upright. And then from standing upright, I start walking. And then I start walking, and then over the next 20, 30, 40 years, I become a fully upright and conscious man. That's evolutionary process. Not monkey to man.
Look at how they've made that. What? Yeah, the way you painted that picture and how they painted it. Again,
we came from the
water. Yeah.
We came from the water. Fertilization happened in the water. Creation happened in the water. So am I of the land? I'm a man in the land. Yeah, but what about your origin? I'm a man on the land. Yeah, but what about your origin? I'm a man on the land. Yes, you've abandoned God, dude.
I think about all the things that we were taught in high school and the visuals. And when you say from the water and how they show the evolutionary, that it's mind-blowing. That's crazy. And even
well,
go ahead.
No, go.
Oh, well, I was just going to read it. I was looking at the Smithsonian, but it uses some interesting words here. It says it operates as a trust. Okay, first of all, let me just read this. The Smithsonian, or simply the Smithsonian, is a group of museums, education, and research centers, the largest such complex in the world, created by the U.S. government for the increase in diffusion of knowledge, founded August 10th, 1846. It operates as a trust, instrumentally.
Of course it does.
And is not formally a part of any of the three branches of the federal government. The institution is named after its founding donor, British scientist James Smithson. Okay. Yeah, so a trust operates as a trust, instrumentally.
Look at, if you can, I know you're online, go to the, who runs the trust? Look at the top figures that run the Smithsonian and ask yourself, how in the world can the top judge in America be on that?
How do I get to that list? I did this work before.
Where are you at? Let me go to Smithsonian. Yeah, that's fine. Okay. Actually, go to Smithsonian, their website.
Interesting. Okay.
Go to Smithsonian, the website, and then look up. Let me see. Shop travel about. Go to the word about, and then go to leadership.
Okay, I'm there.
That's the Smithsonian.
I think I'm there.
I think there's is there a board? Board leadership directory licensing? Oh, that's Smithsonian. Oh, that's Shop Read Travel Leadership. Was it?
Yeah.
Acting director. I was looking for the board of governors. I'm
yeah,
in fact, I'm Smithsonian Smithsonian Board.
Oh, yeah.
Smithsonian
Members of
Board.
the Board of Regents.
Board of Regents, but we're right back to the word regents, aren't we?
Yes.
For Regency. But look at Board of Regents. Now look at the members. The top, look at, you got Chief Justice John G. Period Roberts. He's the Chief Justice on the Supreme Court. You got Vice President Kamala D. Period Harris.
Oh, my God.
Vice President. Vice President is what? President of the Senate. So you have the President of the Senate, and you have the Chief Justice running. They're at the top of the heap, literally heap, at the Board of Regents for the Smithsonian and Americana. I'm telling you right now that the American people and all of their property is Americana. The Native American people produce Americana, and I'm telling you right now it's held in trust at the Smithsonian. That's why the Supreme Court Justice John Roberts is there to watch over the Native Americans' property. The same with the Senate President, who's the Vice President in the United States, but the Senate President, he's the President of the Senate, is also in the number two slot.
Look at all the first, middle letter, period, last on that list. That's insane.
Well, I guess it depends on who they are. But I think, and if you read about the regents are the ones that are watching over the Americana, and that's the American people's property. The Native Americans are the baby that comes out of the womb. The Christians, Christianity is the material left behind. That's on deposit. That evidences your Federal Reserve.
It says nine regents. Oh yeah.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Nine regents are from the general public, two of whom must reside in the District of Columbia, and seven of whom must be inhabitants of the 50 states, but no two from the same state. Each is nominated by the Board of Regents and appointed for a statutory term of 6 years by a joint resolution of the Congress, which is then signed into law by the president. In accordance with the bylaws adopted by the Board of Regents in 1979, citizen members may not serve more than two. Okay, well, whatever. But there's some District of Columbia, there's some key things there. That's very interesting. Sounds important. Two of whom must reside in the District of Columbia.
All I'm saying is, a lot of things point at pay. When you get all the way down there and start looking at substance, where did the biology go? If it fell on the ground, if my afterbirth, let's say, figuratively falls onto the ground in Swedish American Hospital, they clamp and cut the umbilical cord, and all of the rest of me, the residue, the residual, the rest, residue, and remainder of my godly estate falls to the ground figuratively in Swedish American Hospital on the fourth floor. Well, that's corporate. And then the hospital's located where? In the city of Rockford. Rockford Township. It's also where? In the county of Winnebago. It's also where? Winnebago County's in the state of Illinois or Illinois, which is where? In the United States of America, or United States, which is where? In the Americas, geographically. So all of those fictional jurisdictions can lay claim to that piece of me that, or participate in that piece of me that I left behind. And who supplies that character with all the energy? Me, in the present. I'm out here doing what I do, but that birth certificated character is capturing all of my energy. You know what I call it? When they clamp and cut the cord, I call that the splitting of the atom. And so when they clamp and cut the cord, they cut atom, A-T-O-M, and A-T-O-M. A-D-A-M, Adam, off from source, from God. So what is, by splitting the atom, what do? They release all my energy for capture. And then how do they capture my energy? They capture it through the birth certificated character, who I believe is me. So I keep putting all my energy into that character, and they just they call it a transmitting utility. I'm the source of all the energy in their fictitious Christian realm. But I'm out here in the present, and their character is back there in the past. Their character is a debtor, while I'm the creditor in the present. What happens when I merge the two? What happens when the creditor and debtor become one? They call that extinguishment. The debt's extinguished. I can't loan myself money. I can't be in debt to myself. Res sua nemini servit says, no man, no one can have a servitude over his own property, over his own land. The moment I wake up to the fact that I'm all present and accounted for from fertilization to last breath, I've eliminated the public debt from my life because I'm not party to the public.
Extinguishment?
Extinguish. To extinguish is like to put out a fire. When I extinguish the debt, I mean, think about this. If I loan you $10,000, I mean, I'm bonded to you. I'm stuck to you, just like you are to me. As the creditor, I'm stuck to you. As the debtor, you're stuck to me. How do we get unstuck? Well, either I forgive the debt so you don't have to pay it off, and now I'm not bonded to you anymore, or you pay me the $10,000 you owe me, and the debt goes away. Either way, we're not bonded together anymore. What happens? I mean, so the only way we're stuck together is through the debt. What happens when there is no debt? We're not bonded together. Why do you think the public debt is so high? Because the public debt is secured by the American people or by the living in the present. They just don't know it. They just don't know it. So what happens when you become whole, W-H-O-L-E, in the present moment? You're not party to the debtor back there lost in the past. You're not. Once you merge, once you become one, what do they call becoming one? What is the word for becoming one?
The word for becoming one?
Atone.
No, that's right.
A-T-O-N-E, at one, to become one, is to atone. So when you finally atone, when you wake up to the fact that you're all present and accounted for, from fertilization to last breath, that's atonement. I'm of one mind now. I don't have a duality going on here. I'm not lost to the past. I'm all present and accounted for. What do I mean by that? Well, I'm all present, and I'm accounting for the time that they're saying I forgot about in the womb. I didn't forget that. I'm whole from the beginning. Thank you very much. Luke 5:31.
They got us so busy with all this stuff.
That's a good way to say it. They do. They have everybody chasing their tail.
Yes.
You know what an Ouroboros is?
Yes, the snake.
Eating its own tail? Isn't that the birthday? Every 365 days you go back to the beginning?
Oh my God.
And what is the tail? Well, a tail, I mean, most people say, oh, look at the tail of that cat. I'm talking about a tail meaning T-A-L-E, a story. Eating your own tail, eating your own story.
Oh my God, Kurt, that's crazy.
So what are you doing? If you buy into the birthday character, and that character is cut. There's a terminal point right at the port of entry to the world beyond the womb. If you keep selling little bits and pieces of the whole story, you're selling yourself short. Your story doesn't end until it ends, until you're dead, until you breathe your last breath outside the womb, your story continues. You can't do that. The living man, there is no outstanding forensic debt to the living man. Until you're dead, you don't have to pay anything in the present.
Chasing your own tail.
You're chasing your own tail. You're eating your own tail.
Yes.
That's why when you go to church and they offer you the body and blood of Christ.
I am done. That's so insane. That's what that means.
Yes, the Eucharist elements, the Eucharistic elements, is your own biology. So you're the cannibal going and eating your own life. You're consuming your own story. You're selling yourself short. The body and blood of Christ, the Eucharistic elements, are your own biology. So
shame
every time
on
you
that's
go back,
shame. That's a shame. I mean, shame on them. But that's just like almost like, I mean, it's embarrassing that no one sees it. And also, it's just like they're not having fun with it now. They're just like, oh, like this must be a laugh for them. Like that, all these little things that they do, the offering, the bread and the body and the body and the blood. That's, they must just be laughing.
They might be.
It's a joke.
They might be, but. Remember, though, that the Bible is telling us all this stuff, too, though. 1 Corinthians 13:11, King James Version. 1 Corinthians 13:11 says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. In other words, when we finally wake up to the truth, the childish thing is that piece cut off of us. That's the thing that they're talking about. That's what they use when they speak of in rem. In rem jurisdiction is about the thing. Well, what's the thing? The thing they cut off of us. Well, what is that? The fetal maternal placenta, which has a title. What's the title? The birth certificated person, Curtis Richard Kallenbach, is the title to the fetal maternal placenta. That's a childish thing. I have to give up a birthday the moment I'm a man. How many times did I come out of the womb? How many birthdays did I actually have? Realistically, I came out one time. I don't have 64 births, 64 birthdays. I came out one time. That's the only infancy I ever had. And from that infancy, I kept growing and evolving. But they have us eating our own tail, eating our own infancy, eating our own body and blood. By taking and accepting the Eucharist, you keep going back to infancy. And eating your own tail. You are the Ouroboros.
It's just incredible. Thank you so much.
But it's okay. But it's okay because the reality is you're actually okay. When you wake up, you can start to laugh yourself. Look what they bamboozled us. It's kind of funny, actually.
Yeah, I mean, I have those moments.
Go ahead, say it.
Yeah, I have the moments of, I have the ups and downs of real, you know, like you said, I laugh at it too. But I just, to me, it's like when I, as I'm uncovering all this stuff with you, and I just think about the time before I knew this, and I think about where, how I was in a, not knowing. And I think about knowing it now, and I look back on all the things, and it's amazing, and I'm so thankful to be able to see this now. I'm very thankful for this, because it's so fun, actually, is probably the best word. It's so fun to look back and see what was actually the reality, or what was they were actually saying throughout my life, and so. Yeah, it's back to the very beginning of this conversation. It's identifying the water that we're in. Like you say, the fish doesn't know it's in water. But now I love identifying it. It's phenomenal.
Well, there's, what is, let me see, tragedy. Tragedy or comedy. What do they call that? You know the faces?
Yes.
There's the two masks. What is that called? The tragedy or comedy faces?
Yeah.
What is that?
Tragedy and comedy. Let's see.
Tragic comedy. Tragic comedy is a literary genre that blends aspects of both tragic and comic forms. And the masks, let me see if they actually have a...
Here.
I love those masks. Let me see if I can find a website that has the masks. It's pretty funny because it could be either. There it is. Tragedy Comedy Encyclopedia, where it has both faces.
Yeah.
It can be either. See, that's maybe that's the thing is once we wake up to this, if we become the martyr, if we suffer for all this stuff, it's a tragedy. But all of a sudden, when you wake up and you realize we've been bamboozled, or we believed in nonsense, or we actually were the infancy. We were mental midgets. We believed in all kinds of shit, and we suffered because of the shit. But you wake up and you go, wait a minute, we don't have to suffer. The truth is, I'm all present and accounted for from fertilization last breath, which extracts me from the fiction. I've never actually been in the fiction. I can't. As a biological man, a living, breathing, spiritual man, I can't be in the fiction. I've never been in the fiction. Kurt, how do we get out of the fiction? We're not in it. How do I get out of the matrix? If you're talking to me, you're not in the matrix because the matrix is the uterine wall. You can't still be in mom and be talking to me at the same time. Oh, girl, I don't know how to get out of the matrix. You're not in the matrix. Nobody is. Once you come out of mom, you're not in the matrix.
In historical times, there are two names for each mask. The name Melpomene represents the tragedy mask or muse of tragedy, and the name Thalia represents the comedy mask or muse of comedy. Melpo is the shorter name for Melpomene, meaning a celebration of dance and song. Interesting.
Dance and song. Well, look at. I mean, I remember when I was in grade school, I went to public schools like everybody else that followed the in lockstep. but I remember at the fun fair, you know, it's really weird because they always used to have the cakewalk in one of the rooms. And they would put on some music, and we'd all march around the, you know, the circle of chairs, and, you know, eventually there wouldn't be a chair for you. But they called it a cakewalk. Well, what's the cake? The placenta. I think it's funny because SOL, shit out of luck, shit is number two, and number two is the second coming, and the second coming is Jesus. You're shit out of luck. You don't have your Jesus with you. Well, that's equity.
Oh, my God. That's crazy. That took me a second. Oh, my God. Man.
But it's all this way. Chad, everything, it's so simple. That's why, to me, at this point, I had this conversation with a buddy of mine yesterday that I'm amazed at how beautiful the system actually is because it's not good anymore because once they introduced the welfare state, they destroyed it. They destroyed what was the real beauty. They destroyed the potential by taking from people that actually produced and giving it to people that don't. Once they started down that path, they destroyed everything because there is no welfare state in nature. Either you bring something to the table to trade or whatever, it doesn't matter what it is. As long as you produce something that others are willing to trade for, you're welcome. But the moment you sit back and do nothing and earn nothing, then you become a burden. And that's what's happened is the welfare state or the state itself has become so top heavy that the number of people producing to support it are not enough. So they have to burn this place down. They're going to have to kick the board. They're going to have to do something because there is no way to sustain what's happened. This is a Ponzi scheme.
Kick the
board. And now they're going to have to collapse it. One last thing I'll say because this is kind of a fun thing. I always looked at things like the game of Monopoly, which came out about the same year as the birth certificate. But my favorite was always rock, paper, scissors. I'm going to go to rock, paper, scissors, and then we can set up another time to talk. But look at rock, paper, scissors. Rock,
paper,
scissors. Rock, paper, scissors.
Wow.
I'm at Wikipedia. It says rock, paper, scissors. Scissors, paper, rock, or it's called stone in Australia, is an intransitive hand game, usually played between two people, in which each player simultaneously forms one of three shapes with an outstretched hand. These shapes are rock, a closed fist, paper, a flat hand, and scissors, a fist with the index finger and middle finger extended, forming a V. The earliest form of rock, paper, scissors style game originated in China and was subsequently imported into Japan, where it reached its modern standardization form before being spread throughout the world in the early 20th century. Let me see where it says. I believe, let me see what year it came to the U.S. The legend, oh, there it is. The name Rochambeau or Rochambeau has been claimed to refer to Count Rochambeau, who allegedly played the game during the American Revolutionary War. Well, I know that the Revolutionary War is a birthday. Revolution is a returning back, to revolve or to turn back towards. That's what we do when we claim the infancy or the birth certificate. Every 365 days, it's a revolution back to infancy. And the war, by definition, to be is what? A competition over a particular end, which is the cut. So the Revolutionary War begins with the cutting of the umbilical. And then we keep the war going annually. Every 365 days, the war restarts with our claim to the birthday or the character. But look what it says here. The legend that he played the game is apocryphal, as all evidence points to the game being brought to the United States later than 1910. Now, here's why I think it's such an amazing thing, because I read where it came in the U.S. around the 1920s, the same year is the Chapter 12, 67th Congress, and the Shepard-Towner Act, which identified the fetal maternal mother and child placenta. Now, I know that the placenta is a rock.
Mm-hmm.
St. Peter even said, upon this rock I will build my church. The rock is the placenta. The fetal maternal Jesus and Mary placenta is the rock. What's the paper? If the fetal maternal placenta is the rock, what's the paper?
The birth certificate.
The birth certificate. And if the birth certificate is the paper, what's the scissors?
The cut.
The cutting of the certificate, or the ability to cut it apart into two. What's really weird about all this stuff is, if you play rock, paper, scissors, a rock only smashes the scissors, but the rock is covered by the birth certificate. I mean the paper.
Oh.
But the scissors will cut the paper, but the rock will smash the scissors. It's like a three-legged stool. Realistically, you say, well, the scissors should win because it cuts the birth certificate apart. I know, but the placenta, the rock, smashes the scissors. So it's a no-win game. What I mean is, it's really no win. Any one of those could take the other one out.
My eyes are wide open. I'm standing up. That's crazy. That's crazy.
And I'll end with this, because one of my favorite things ever, when I discovered the idea of the St. Peter's cross, I'm going to go to Wikipedia real quick. St. Peter's cross of St. Peter. B R O S S, and then we can cross of St. Peter. There it is. Cross of St. Peter. Tell me what you see.
Upside down cross.
That's what it looks like, doesn't it? I mean, when you look at this, but St. Peter says, upon this rock I will build my church. So that cross would evidence the rock, wouldn't it?
That's the ground.
It marks the rock. Now, I want you to look at this. Are you on your computer or on your phone?
I'm on my iPad, and I'm on the page. Yeah. Oh, tell
me. If I could edge a mirror up to the bottom of the cross, the cross would look upright on the mirror, or the cross would be upright from this position. I mean, I'm saying that that cross of St. Peter is a mirror image of the present. Let me prove it to you. Because this is such a weird, I mean, people never see these connections until I show you. I'm going to go to MIRROR image at Wikipedia.
Mirror image Wikipedia.
Mirror image Wikipedia. And it should, there it is. There, this is what I'm getting at. Look at the picture at mirror image of the mountains. See it?
Yes, I see it.
So the reality is the as above, right? See the mountain above?
Yeah.
It's upright. The mountain's upright. That's reality. That's the world of substance, right?
Yeah.
But in the water, the narcissistic image, narcissistic image of the mountain is upside down, isn't it?
Yeah, yes.
So if you did the same thing with St. Peter's cross, if you put the solid, the world of reality, upright, then the image of the upright cross would be the upside down cross. The same way with this mountain. The image. The weird thing about this is that people don't realize that when they claim to be in the image of God, they're not claiming reality. Because the image, they're upside down. They're upside down. And that's why when you in the Bible it says, and the first will be last, and the last will be first, and as above, so below, and all that shit. You know what? I don't care about any of that. Reality is reality. And I've been physically all present and accounted for from fertilization and last breath. I don't have any image. I don't require an image because I'm present. To be present doesn't require a representation. I'm present. I don't need to be represented when I'm wholly present. You see what I'm getting at? A representation is an image. I don't need to represent. I am present. If I'm present, the representation is not necessary.
Yes.
And what is a representation? It's something that represents the real. The birth certificated person evidences or represents my godly origin. But does it really? No, it's a piece of paper that represents what I have failed to remember. But I didn't fail to remember it. I'm all present and accounted for. The fact that I'm accounting for the time in the womb means I don't need a representation. I'm still using it. I'm still using my godly biology. I'm still using my godly DNA. I'm still using my godly estate, which means I don't need a trust. I'm still using it. I'm still present. The only people that use trust are those that are no longer present, frozen in time in the past, missing in action, doesn't matter. I'm present.
And it's in the past. The reflection is in the past.
It is in the past.
God. That was amazing. That's so brilliant. Thank you so much, Kurt. I appreciate this.
I love
phenomenal.
Talking to you.
Me too. Appreciate
you're seeing it. You're seeing it, man. You're seeing reality. And don't get me wrong, I look out the window and I see a car over there and I see people walking. That's reality. But in their heads, they think they're somewhere else. In their heads, they think that they have birthdays. In their heads, they think they're in the United States. They're giving up all their rights. They're giving up everything to the fiction. Their belief is relieving them of their ownership. Of their
well, you did it, Kurt. You made me cry. I'm gonna hang up and cry. I mean, I'm already was crying.
It's okay. It's actually an epiphany. When you and it's a crying. It's a beautiful thing. I mean, when you wake up and you finally start crying, they're tears of joy.
Yes, it is.
They're
absolutely.
Tears of joy, not of pain or suffering. They're tears of joy when you wake
You're
up and you go, oh, my God.
Right.
Yeah. It's beautiful, man. Nature is amazing. Life is amazing. You know, the Mass is not amazing. The Christ Mass, the Christmas, the Christ Mass is death. You know what eternal life is? Death. Eternal life is afterlife. The afterlife. Well, what is that? That's not life. If life is already passed, the afterlife doesn't evidence life. It evidences something else. I'm not interested in the afterlife. I'm not interested in the promise of eternal life. I'm mortal. I don't have eternal life. So I better start celebrating the time I actually have, the present. Love you, man. Let's talk.
Thanks.
Again.
Great. All right, ciao.
Have a
All right. Bye.
Beautiful. Bye.
Bye-bye.